Listen, the anointing. Say with me, the anointing. And I, you know, again, I want to welcome Pastor Felicia and Pastor Hendrik here. You guys are so well. It's so small. It's like we're only 4 months old. And it's such teething problems. I can't even preach here because I can't run anywhere. So I just have to stand here. And so I'm very limited. In the prophetic, there are streams of the prophetic that I teach my team on. Certain streams that I'm not going to tell you now. But one of them is like, is movement. If you study prophets, that for me to prophesy properly, I have to move fast. If I move here fast, I bump into everyone. So pray that we get a new building. Amen. And then more things will happen. But I want to speak tonight about the anointing. Say with me the anointing. Say importation. Listen, importation requires a few things. It requires a person that is anointed, that can impart to a person that is willing to receive the anointing. Are you guys with me? I know it's hard, so we're not going to keep you long. So it's two things. You need an anointed person. You need a person that is wanting to be anointed, that wants the anointing. And then you need a location. Say with me, location. Location is everything. I spoke about an accidental miracle last week, Sunday. If you were not here, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that 600 special forces soldiers came against him and stood around him. And he asked, he says, who are you looking for? And they said, we are looking for the Christ, for Jesus the Christ, the one who calls him the Christ. They said, and he said, and the Bible says that when Jesus answered them and said, I am he, that so much power was released from him that it knocked over 600 soldiers, special forces soldiers. It knocked them all on the ground. That when they came back up, they were so confused. They asked the same question again. Time was interrupted. Their whole life was interrupted that moment and they didn't know what happened. When they stood up, they asked the same question again. And Jesus again said those words. Listen here. But when Jesus said, I am he, it was the exact phrase that Moses said in the old covenant that God said to Moses, I am that I am. It's the exact same phrase. So Jesus tapped into his God-like identity. Are you guys with me? You and I have a God-like identity. We're going to get into it in the conference. And Jesus tapped into that identity. He is God, of course. He is God. And as he said, I am he. So much power was released that 600 people fell to the ground. Now people ask, where's the scripture of falling under the power? There it is. But something peculiar happened. In the book of Mark, you read one sentence that a young little boy ran through the garden naked. A young lad naked. Maybe they would say, some say 7 years, some say 15 years, but nevertheless, he ran naked through the scene. It makes no sense. There's a war going on. They're trying to kill Peter's chopping off the ears of people. He didn't try to chop off the ears, he tried to chop off the head, but he got the ear. There's a war going on. And there a naked little boy runs through the garden. But there's no city close by. Are you guys with me? The theologians will tell you there's no city close by. The only thing that was close by next to the Garden of Gethsemane was a graveyard. And when this young naked little boy ran through the graveyard, he had something wrapped around his body, which was a cloth. That cloth in the Greek is a grave cloth. It was only used to bury somebody. So when Jesus said, I am he, when he released those words, just because that boy was buried in the right location at the right time, he was raised from the dead. Say with me, location. Say it again, say location. Listen, you need to be in the right location for revival to take place. Are you guys with me? You're the wrong location. I'm going to explain to you. Just listen. It's all about location and the vessel that anoints you. It's not so much about the anointing. It's about the vessel that anoints you. I know it contradicts some things that we talk, but listen to this. How many of you know the Bible says all of us have the anointing on the inside of us? So I can go to anybody and they can anoint me. But there are certain vessels. Like for example, let's say my spiritual father, Pastor Mark. He's a vessel that I want who can anoint me. I have other mentors in my life that I want them to anoint me. I don't want somebody around the corner to anoint me. They might carry the same anointing on the inside, but listen, it's the vessel that matters. I'm not speaking in a way of a vessel can be sinful or so. Listen to what I'm saying. I mean, you'll understand just now. Say with me, anoint. Say mashach. That's the Hebrew word for anoint. It means to smear, to rub in, to rub on. I love the anointing. If it was not for the anointing, I would not be here tonight. This church would not exist if it was not for the anointing upon my life. If it was not for the anointing upon my life, I would have never fallen in love with God. Listen, when I pray for these services or when I just spend time at home with God, the intensity of the presence can get so strong that it's like thick. I cannot do anything but just raise my hands and just sit there and cry for hours because it is thick in the atmosphere. And like I said, you will see angels this conference coming. Oh, look how dead you are. Angel, listen. Angels was a norm in the New Testament church. It was so normal that when Peter came out of the prison and he escaped out of the prison, he knocked on the door that the servant's girl of the church opened the door and she closed. I couldn't believe it. She closed the door again. I'm like, it's Peter standing in front of you. She went to the people, to the church and said, listen, Peter's at the door. And they said, impossible. It must be his angel. What do they mean by that? So your angel looks like you. I'm not getting into a doctrine of angels. I'm speaking of the reality. The Apostle Paul said, do not wear this, do not wear that. And he goes on, he says, for the sake of angels that worship with you in the congregation, in the book of Corinthians, they had a reality and a revelation of angelic power that the church of today has lost. That we don't even understand that every believer has an angel by them. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're in a car or if you're driving in your car, listen, if you're driving too fast, the angel will jump out. If you're driving faster, the devil jumps out. Then it's just you in the car, okay? But I prophesy that there will be changes in your life from this conference coming. That when you go home, there'll be heavenly activities at home. It's like I was sitting in my room, in my prayer room, when I was praying last night and I was studying the word. It's like something just went past me like a wind, and I saw this bolt going past me, and the presence of God suddenly became thick in my room. Suddenly, there are heavenly activities. The Bible says there are voices at the throne, there are lightnings and thunderings, there are movements and everything at the throne of God. It is time to get back into that place of intimacy with Him, that we have that intimate relationship with Him. If not, we will backslide. Are you guys with me? Listen. So, David, listen. If you look at David and Saul, just before I get into the message, David was, and I'm going to speak about the prophetic anointing tonight if we get into it. David was anointed by, I'm not going to get into the scripture now, this is just the thought that's coming up. David was anointed by a horn. Can everybody say with me, a horn? King Saul was anointed by a flask. Say a flask. Big difference. King David, when he was anointed, as king. When Saul was anointed, he was anointed as captain. Are you guys with me? This verse says he was anointed as captain over his inheritance. Never says king. King David was anointed as king. But listen to what happened. King Saul gets anointed by a flask. A flask is just a vessel. I spoke to you this morning about vessels of honor, about wood and clay and gold and silver in the house of God, and how by our attitudes we can be a certain vessel, either be a vessel of clay and wood or of gold and silver. And we can choose what position we want to have in the church by virtue of our attitude and our response towards offenses, towards negativity and so on that goes on. But listen, there are some vessels that are meant for dishonor. Paul says some were made for dishonor and some were made for honor. Are you guys with me? When the prophet Samuel, who made a mistake, when he anointed Saul, it was a vessel. He anointed him for dishonor. He anointed him for destruction. I shared with you, I can tell you out of scripture where God will prophesy people into destruction. He prophesies the desires of their hearts to come to pass because their hearts are wicked. But when King David was anointed, he was anointed for honor, by a vessel of honor, by a horn. Listen to the difference. When Saul was anointed, he sat by Goliath and he was scared and afraid sitting in a tent. But when David was anointed, on the first day of his anointing, he became a celebrity. On the first day when he was anointed, he walked up to Goliath and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should curse the armies of God?" I don't know if you guys are understanding me. The difference between the two vessels. The one who anoints you is very, listen, it depends on the person who anoints you. I promise you. It really, okay. I don't want to get too deep. Sometimes I feel like I'm giving steaks and you guys like joking. Like I check the people in the back are going red and mad. And listen, say with me, anointed. When King David was anointed, the Bible says when he was anointed, they came to him. They brought him horses. They brought him food. They brought him gold and silver. They brought every provision to him. Horses and chariots they brought to him. Say with me, horses. Say with me, cars. So what's the difference? When you are anointed, provision will follow you. When you are anointed in the right manner, in the right way. Listen here, the first thing that will come is what we call divine connections. When David got anointed, he became friends with the son of the president, the king. Okay, just stay with me. Don't be unspiritual now. Do you guys understand? He became friends with Jonathan, best friends. So when he became anointed, his first connection was he became a best friend. Second connection was he married the president's daughter. Oh, come on, are you guys with me? Right after he was anointed as king, right after Samuel anointed him, he went from there, went to Goliath, took Goliath out. Saul said to him, do whatever you want, I give. Listen, in one day, he became a celebrity. So when you are anointed the right way, there will be divine connections. There will be divine provision. God will take you to the top in one day. That is what the anointing of the Holy Ghost does. Are you guys with me? Listen, I want to get into the... Say with the anointing. Say, I want to be anointed. May it be rubbed into you tonight. In every area of your life. Are you guys with me? Go for me on the screen. I don't want to be too long. Oh my goodness. I'll do like 10 minutes. Go for me on the screen. Go put on 2 Kings chapter number 4. Verse number 8. I want to just give you keys on how to activate the anointing. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 8. I'm going to read you. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 8. It says these words. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Say with me, a notable woman. May you become notable. May people take notice of you. And she persuaded. Say with me, persuaded. The other word says she constrained. I'll get into that just now. Him to eat some food. Say with me, katalambano. That's the Greek word for what is kind of like used here in the Hebrew, the kind of picture. It means to grab by force, to grab by violence, to grab by immediate force and take it as yours. That's what it means. Too many people, the word katalambano, the word kata means to receive. But lambano means to receive by force. Too many people just receive. They don't take it by force. I can walk during worship and prophesy over everybody. There'll only be a few that'll pull it out of me. There'll only be a few that'll look me in the eyes and want to pull it out of me. Others, they'll be... Praise Jesus. My heart is too. I'm not going to... You will not receive nothing. Go... Listen, go for me like, say hallelujah. If I say softly hallelujah, like hallelujah. The Bible says God will fill my mouth. If I open my mouth small, He'll fill it small. But if I open my mouth big and I say hallelujah, He'll fill it big. A revival is response. And I need a response. So are you guys with me? Even with a prophetic, listen. Prophecy, you can prophesy over everybody, but I can decide over who I want to prophesy. Where were we? This woman, she persuaded, she violently and aggressively grabbed a hold of him to eat some food. So it was as women, as often as he passed by. Say with me, as often. He was regularly passing by. Then listen to me. God regularly passes you by. But He's waiting for somebody that can grab a hold of His presence. There's moments in your life where God will pass by you regularly, often. He'll come past you often, but we have to respond and grab a hold of that presence. Are you guys with me? This woman grabbed a hold of Elisha's presence and said, Elisha grabbed a hold of Elisha's presence and said, come into this house and eat. The Bible says that he went often there past by, which tells me she often grabbed him and said to him, come and eat. And he said, no. I read the Bible what is not said. Is that okay? If you go study in deep, they'll tell you there's a law, what we call the law of reciprocation, which means that if something is said, the contrary can also be applied. Which means that he went by there often, And she must have often persuaded him to come in, but he said no, because he was waiting for a moment of desperation. God is waiting for a moment. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 19, it says that Jesus was walking past a city and he acted as if he would have gone further. I'm going to say it again. He acted as if he would have gone further. He was testing that city. But the Bible says that they constrained him. They persuaded him. That word means to violently, aggressively, passionately, and desperately grab a hold of him and pull him into their city. God is looking for a people that can do it like that. That when his presence comes into this place, you can katalambano it. You can violently, aggressively, desperately, passionately grab a hold of the anointing in the atmosphere and make it yours. If I prophesy over one person here, you can receive it on that side. If I preach from here and it just makes sense to you and you feel, but by God, this night I'm going to walk out to you with a blessing. This night God is going to bless me financially. God is going to bless my health. You can receive it because it is in the atmosphere. Say with me, say katalambano. You've just heard a great big word. Now there's different, it's used differently. The other word, it says in Revelation chapter number 3 verse number 11, it says these words. It says, behold, I come quickly. And then it says, hold fast to that which was been given to you, lest any man will steal your crown. God has given you a crown. He has made you royalty. And he says, there's men that wants to steal that away, but you must hold fast unto it, which is the Greek word krateo, where we get kratos from, which means with such dominion and force. Kratos is one of the most strongest powers in the Bible. Which we must use that force to hold on to what God has given us. Don't let go of your dream. Oh, come on, I've been preaching on the dream coat. Don't put your dream coat down. Too many people have laid down the coat of dreams and they've gone on with life, or they were discouraged and discontent. It's time to pick up your dream coat and hold it fast. Don't let any man steal your crown, which tells me that God has made us royalty in this place. You are kings and priests unto our God. Come on, are you guys with me? You have to walk like royalty, talk like royalty, act like royalty, dress like royalty, wherever you are, that people know that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Listen, it goes on, it says, she persuaded him. So he went past there often. So he was a regular passerby. But she recognized the anointing. Say with me, recognized. She perceived the first key. I'm going to give you three, then I'll close. The first key to receive the anointing, we must have spiritual perception. You must recognize, wait, at ECC, at that place there's an anointing. When I go to that location, it's anointed there. The anointing is poured out from there. I must be able to perceive it, to recognize it. If a minister is ministering, before I can receive anything, I must recognize them as a man of God. Are you guys with me? So it says, so she had spiritual perception. Say this, spiritual perception. Spiritual perception will cause things to go speedily. The book of Jeremiah says, God said to Jeremiah in 1 verse 11, you don't have to go there. In 1 verse 11, he says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see the branch of an almond tree. And he said, you have seen well. Now I will perform my word. The word perform means now I will quickly and speedily begin to advance my word that is over your life. Which means that every prophecy that's prophesied over you, every word that is given, when you have spiritual perception to see spiritual things, that prophecy is being accelerated, and acceleration is coming. For even that the spirit of delay will be broken. That what have had to supposed to happen in years will happen in months. What was supposed to take months will take weeks. What is supposed to take weeks will take days. Listen, when he stepped into the wedding, one of his first miracles, he turned water into wine. His mother asked him, and then he said, no, woman, it's not my time. He always called his mother woman. So just for my mom that is in here, you know, Jesus always called his mother woman. And then eventually she didn't care. She wasn't sweet little Virgin Mary as we know her. She didn't care. She went anywhere and got bottles of water and brought it to him. And he turned water into wine. Now, if you understand wine, you will know that it takes years for wine to ferment. Are you guys with me? To become, and the longer it takes, the better is it. The Bible says he made the best wine there. Something that was supposed to take years, when Jesus is on the scene, it takes seconds. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. I'm asking this, that this conference, like I said, there'll be debt cancellation, but the oil of favor will come upon your life. I have spoken to you about and preached about, what is her name? Esther. Grandmother Esther. We think that Esther was 16 years old. She wasn't. The movies are wrong. If you go study the theologians, the commentaries, Esther was 74 or something like that, 76 years old. And she came and stood before the king. And there was these other girls with her, 16-year-olds. Let's say 16, the young, at that age, they were usually that age. Prepared a year long just for the king. Beautiful girls, the most choice females of the land, stood in front of the king ready to be his wife. And here in the middle is grandmother Esther. And the king, for some reason, is blinded to every beautiful girl. And the only person he sees is Esther. And the Bible says, because God has favored her. That word favor is razon. Razon, favor of God. It's a favor that when it comes on you, you overtake in every area of your life. That if you go for a job application and they're looking for qualifications, they overlook everybody, but for some reason they don't know why. They're just looking at you and they're promoting you and they don't know why. It is because of the anointing of favor, the oil of favor that can come upon you. This anointing is real. This anointing is more real than you and I sitting in this place. The presence of God is tangible. How many of you can feel Him in this place? Listen. Let's go on. And she said to her husband, look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly, often. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. And let us, now stop on this verse for me, okay? And let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Just stop there for me. I want to go quickly through this, so that we can minister to you. I want to ask you, if we're going to pray for you, be open, be hungry. Are you guys with me? Listen, she said, let us make a room for him, a small upper room. The Bible says that there was a stairway. In fact, if you study the commentaries, there was a stairway going up, that this room that they prepared for him was an upper room. It was on top of the house. A stairway had to go there. So we see 5 or 6 things symbolically that's in this picture, which can tell us how to honor the anointing. Say with me, honor. Where the anointing is not honored, it cannot flow. It is impossible. Has God ever failed to do a miracle? Yes, in his own hometown, because of a lack of honor. Familiarity is the opposite of honor. Honor is the opposite of familiarity. Where there is familiarity, it stinks. The Bible says that God vomits out those people out of his mouth. Are you guys with me? And I can get in the two cities that are cold springs, hot springs, and I'll explain to you exactly why. Because the one, when you drink lukewarm water, God says it's like drinking lukewarm water. I have to vomit it out. That's when a Christian becomes familiar with the works of God. They come to church and they're like, you know what? I have seen all of this. Ugh, it's a prophecy. It's a healing. So what? You know, the other preacher in the AFM church, they did much better, you know. What can Leon perform to us now? And we become familiar to the works of God. Are you guys with me? Nothing makes God more sick than familiarity. May familiarity not be found in our hearts, in our lives, in this place. If there's one thing that can eliminate a miracle, is familiarity. The other thing is tradition. But listen. So we see that this woman, she took the anointing, because Elisha represents the anointing. She took the anointing and she said, I'm going to make the anointing first in my life. I'm going to place it in an upper room. I'm going to give it priority right to the top where everybody can see it. I'm not going to hide it away. I'm going to put it on the hill. I'm going to honor the anointing and put it first in every area of my life. That's one of the first things she did. Secondly, it says, and she says, let us put a bed for him there. She made it comfortable for the anointing. The Bible says, I wrote a verse down here, that Christ Let me just see if I can find it. In Ephesians 3 verse 17, you don't have to go there. It says these words. It says that Christ may dwell in you. May Christ through your faith dwell in your hearts. But in that word dwell in the Greek says to make a permanent abode and to be made welcome, to be made home. Christ dwells in everybody, but he's not at home in everybody. Are you guys with me? Christ dwells in everybody, but he's not in home in everybody. Christ is in everybody, but not everyone is in Christ. That's another message for another time. So Christ is also a location as he is a person. Because how can the Bible say we must be in Christ? That means he's a location. And if I'm out of that location, I'm missing it. I'm no longer in Christ. So listen. And she said, let us make a bed. Let us put a bed for him there. She made it comfortable for the anointing, that God would find rest to lie. Listen, the Bible says that foxes and birds have holes and nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Up until today, the Son of Man is still looking for a people or a place where he can lay his head and where he can rest. He's looking for a place where the anointing can be welcomed and can dwell there. The Bible says, the anointing that abides in you, I believe it is 1 John 2 verse 20, it's around there. It says, you have an anointing that dwells in you. Everybody say with me, dwell. In the original language, it says abide, which actually means in the Greek, the anointing that remains in you. There's an anointing inside of us that wants to remain on the inside of us as we make it feel welcome. Are you guys with me? Too many people don't make it feel welcome for God to dwell in them. That's why nothing is happening in their lives. Even in the church here, we have to make them feel welcome. When we praise Him, when we worship Him, when we give testimonies, when you give your finances, all those things creates an atmosphere for God to come in and move in this place. Are you guys with me? She created a bed for Him there. The third thing what she did is the Bible says, and a table was placed for him there. A table speaks of fellowship. She began to fellowship with God. Listen, for the anointing to be in our lives and to be activated, we need to have a fellowship, a relationship, an intimate relationship with him. When you create a table for God, God creates a table for you. Psalm chapter number 23 says that in the presence of your enemies, I will put a table for you and put a feast up for you. Come on, are you guys with me? Listen. What does it say? Let me just go to Psalm 23. Zedana. Zano. Zono. Listen. Psalm chapter number 23. If I can just get there. It says this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall be, makes me lay down in green pastures. Da, 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 da. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For you prepare, say with me, prepare a table before me in the presence, say with me, presence of my enemies. The word presence there means face. When the Bible speaks of the presence of God, many times it speaks of the face of God. God is saying, listen here, I will prepare a table for you in the face of your enemies. That when you sit and feast and dine at my table, you will see the destruction of your enemies going down. But it'll be in the face of your enemies. In your face, Satan. In your face where you couldn't get a job. In your face where you couldn't get finances to pay your rent. In your face where the enemy tried to come and take your family out. God will create a table for you. Right in the presence of your enemies. But when we create a table for him, listen, the Bible says she fellowshiped with the anointing, and then she placed a chair there. The word chair speaks of dominion and authority. Rest also, but it speaks more of dominion and authority, which means that she made the anointing to have dominion and authority and position, main position in her life. Are you guys with me? And then she put a lampstand. The lampstand speaks of revelation. This woman was into revelation. She was the lampstand of the Holy Ghost. It speaks of revelation. It speaks of the voice of the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God. When we begin to receive revelation, when we begin to be open for revelation, it activates the anointing. Listen, when I preach something from this pulpit and you feel something is moving inside of you here, it's revelation. If you feel it's dead, you want to go home, you can go home, okay? But listen, it's revelation. It means that something is being stirred up on the inside of you. When God's presence comes in, when His anointing comes in, you cannot remain the same. Are you guys with me? It says, so it will be whenever He comes to us, He can turn in there. Read for me on, go for the next verse. Verse number 11. I want to read this to you. And it happened one day that He came there and He turned into the upper room. So Elisha came and he lay down there. Next verse. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. Next verse. And he said to her, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Not once did this woman come and ask Him for something. She just gave. Every time we always want to ask God, ask God, ask God. What about just giving God something? And He will ask you, what can I do for you? What do you want? And she said, let me, I'm not going to read it on. I don't want to go too long. You can switch the scripture off. She said to Him, she wants a son. She wants to give birth to a son. And He said, she will have a son. Now this is a prophet who said she will have a son. Are you guys with me? Elisha, dangerous prophet. She gets the son. Son gets older. We read further on in the story that the son dies. And the woman came from afar to the prophet with a son. Or not with a son. I'm not going through the story now. But the son died. He said, Father, my head, my head. And the Bible said he died. Now here is a prophet who prophesied the son, but the son died. Many of you received prophecies and the prophecy died. Or the promise, it feels like it has died. Your promise has to die for resurrection power to come onto it. Listen. Elisha saw from afar off coming and he sent to Gehazi. He said, listen, go talk to her and go find out what she wants. And he went to her and he found out what she wants. And she just says, oh no, it's well with my soul. What do you mean? You're lying, woman. It's not well, your son just died. But she said, no, it's well with my soul. She was speaking positive the whole time. Are you guys with me? Until it was found out that his son died and he was raised back to life by Elisha and resurrection power came back to her promise. And there are people here, you've received the anointing or you received the prophecy or you received the promise from God and it has felt like that promise has died and years has set in where just nothing came to fruition, nothing was coming out of it and you kind of like just gave up. When you have given up, it felt like it has just died, I'm here to prophesy to you. You're right at the point of resurrection power. You're right at the point where that promise and that dream and that prophecy can be resurrected again back. That is the requirement for resurrection is death. Come on, are you guys with me? Everybody say with me, the anointing. Say it again. Say the anointing. May the anointing fill this place.